Sini siyavuka.
Akunakukakasela usegauteng isihlalo. You are misleading the society.
Hayi Mntunga, ndizakuthumela umlayezo.
Okay.
Miss Carol, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm alive. On my clock, it says 4 o'clock. Am I correct?
Mine says 3:59. So,
Let's use mine. Mine says 4 o'clock. It's a more progressive one. Yeah, so it's already saying 1 past. So yours now must be saying 4 o'clock. So there's a middle ground.
Yes. It's 4 o'clock now.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, colleagues. Welcome to this meeting where we are dealing with the annual report of two entities, being the South African National Roads Agency Limited. Thereafter, we are going to deal with the RTMC. May I take the opportunity to welcome those from both these entities who are on the platform and everyone who is connected. We are ready to start. I don't know if there are any apologies we might have received for this particular meeting. Ms. Carlson, over to you.
Yes, Mr. Mangu, the minister and the deputy minister are attending the IMO event. And then there were a couple of members that were either of sick or having family emergencies. That is Mr. Siklolo, Mr. Lachungo. So I haven't received anything. So I would assume the situation is still ongoing. Mr. Hunsinger and then Mr. Zwane. There were no other apologies.
All right, but otherwise we are ready to go.
Yes, you can start the meeting.
All right, thank you very much. From SANRAL, I don't know who is leading the delegation, but you are welcome. If the chairperson of the board is in the meeting, you are welcome. We are ready to start, and I don't want to delay further. It's 4:03. We will give you till exactly 4:45. No 1 minute extra at all. Till 4:45 to do everything you need to do. I would advise, though, that maybe we spend more time in the actual annual report presentation than the introductory remarks. But I will not preclude you, Chairperson, from doing any introductory remarks, if you so wish, as long as it doesn't interfere with 4:45. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Indeed, it is our intention to move as speedily as possible through our presentation. Because
let us see your face, please, Mr. Mambi. We'll appreciate that. Where not possible, we will then be informed, then we will allow that, but we would prefer to see the presenters.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am trying to press on this on the video part. Allow Zoom to access your camera.
Just And maybe along the way, you will figure it out so that we don't take more of your time.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I should say, Honorable Chair, we're grateful for the opportunity. With me in the meeting, I see from the attendance right now that we've got our acting CEO, Ms. Lisonolo Memeza, our CFO, Ms. Inge Mulder, our company secretary, Ms. Alice Matthew, and our head of strategy, Mr. Thabiso Malahlega. From the board, I know that Mr. Errol Makhubela had his flight changed and he's in Durban. As a result, he did say that he might have some problems. Mr. Matosa was going to join us, but he fell ill just this morning. And indeed, he did say that he'll see a doctor, and if he makes it, he will join us. So without any further ado, Honorable Chair, our management has prepared the necessary presentation, and indeed, I shall therefore hand over to our acting CEO, Ms. Lisonolo Memeza, to lead our presentation in this regard, with your permission, of course, Honorable Chair.
Chair, thank you very much. Ms. Memeza, you are most welcome to start your presentation. You have up until 16:45 with no interruption whatsoever.
Good afternoon, Chair. Thank you very much. I'll move straight to the presentation. So the presentation will be done in three parts. I will do majority of it, and the colleagues from ICT and from finance will assist with
so that we can put the voice to the face. We'll just then even if you remove it again.
Okay. This is me, Chair. I'm hoping that you can see me.
We can see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't know if it's in the presentation mode, Chair. Yeah. So this is the SANRAL presentation on the integrated report for financial year ending 31st March 2022. We start with our vision and mission. Our vision and mission, they haven't changed. We derive this from our long-term strategy. It's ensuring our national road transport system delivers a better South Africa for all. And our mission, our purpose is to deliver a safe, efficient, reliable, and resilient national road transport system for the benefit of all the people of South Africa. Then we move to principal tasks and objectives, and those are to plan, generate, undertake, and advise. On the plan side, we plan, design, construct, operate, maintain, and rehabilitate South Africa's national road. And we generate revenue from the development and management of our assets. As we put it, our intention is to sweat all the assets and the SANRAL's management. We undertake research and development to advance knowledge in the design and construction of roads and related fields and be able to find solutions. We also advise the Minister of Transport on matters relating to South Africa's roads. Our business pillars, we have four business pillars, and that comes from our long-term Horizon 2030 strategy. The four pillars are roads pillar, road safety pillar, stakeholder pillar, and mobility pillar. And the roads pillar, I won't go in detail, but it's focusing on our main mandate. This consolidates all functions pertaining to financing, planning, development, improvement, and maintenance of our national road. The road safety pillar is to embrace the holistic approach of road safety, including the research and data collection on collusion, public awareness, road safety education, improved road incident management system. And this is to make sure that our roads are safe and our road users are aware and educated on the safety on the roads. The stakeholder pillar, this ensures that we engage very well with the communities and partners as we deliver on our mandate, that is implementation of our major road projects and how SANRAL influences the public in general. And mobility pillar, the focal point is on the road infrastructure to enable public transport and intermodal transport solutions, increase access to strategic location, integrated region, facilitate seamless cross-border movement, and enhance urban planning. Our integrated report here, as all members have seen, is divided into two volumes. Volume one contains the chairperson's report, the CEO's report. Section one is a company overview. Section two, all the capitals as per the KIM 4 report and performance and the performance side of SANRAL. And I've already mentioned that the capitals are aligned to the KIM report. Volume two is section three, is corporate governance. Section four is consolidated financial statements. We move to the manufactured capital, the national road that SANRAL is, road network that SANRAL is responsible for. Is we have now about 22,260 kilometers, which is under SANRAL's management. 87% of that is on the non-toll, and 13% is toll roads. 7% of the toll roads is managed by SANRAL and 6% are by concession. Expenditure on road development, improvement, strengthening and maintenance declined for the third consecutive year, and the total amount spent is 11.8 billion, was 7.8% lower than the previous year. And the reason around this chair is emanated from the 18 months of delay in finalizing the or getting a response as it relates to the definition of a local. And once that was cleared, obviously we had a backlog of 18 months and obviously COVID impact and as well the recent decision by National Treasury. And I think in the first quarter, we couldn't manage to advertise any tender. But we have since moved, and Chair, we can tell the committee that we're finalizing the turnaround strategy plan on the procurement side to be able to get projects on the ground. 42% was allocated to capital projects, while the balance secured routine and periodic maintenance. Pavement condition. This year I won't go in detail, but it shows that the road roughness under 4.2 kilometers is at 95.94%. The rut depth less than 20 millimeter, 98.34%. Microtexture over 0.4 millimeter, 99.37%. We move to the pavement condition. If we have different categories, which is very good, fair, poor and very poor. If we look in 2022, we have 11.8%. If we look at good, it's at 40%. If we look at fair, it's 39%. If we look at poor, 8%, and very poor at 0.4%. All this, the pavement condition for SANRAL is still within the 10% of the international standard. So we're still within the international standard. Funding capital spending on the non-toll road, we have spent about 9.112 billion. Spending on the SANRAL toll roads, we spend about 2.747 billion rand. This is the how we spend in terms of different expenditure. We've got the capital expenditure, road maintenance, other income stuff, remuneration. So if you look at our capital expenditure for the 2022, we have spent about close to 35%. It's on capital expenditure as compared to last year where it was around about 20%. If you look at routine road maintenance, we spent just above 35%. And as compared to last year, it was below 35%. And if you look at remuneration, it's way below as compared to the capital expenditure part. And if we go to the total expenditure, we look at capital expenditure in the current financial year. We spent a little bit less than the previous financial year, which was close to 5%. Routine road maintenance, we managed to cover the same as what we did last year. The finance cost, you can be able to see it's a little bit more in this current financial year. Broken down for our concessionaire agreements, track on the road network and structure, CAPEX only, they spend about 1.4 billion. Bakwena spend about 61 million. N3TC spend about 1.06 billion. Then we move to the intellectual capital. This is where we come up with solutions, value-added solutions. We have value-added services through our e-tags, account-based ticketing, the Sunroll mobile app, average speed over distance, parking, automated electronic toll payment, geotechnical solutions, geometric decision solutions, innovative design. There's a lot of research going into this. Some of them have already progressed to implementation stage, Chair, and some are at research stages. We'll be able to answer questions if they are specifically on this. We go to social and relationship capital. Value of work performed by SMME, it's about 2.33 billion. Percentage contracts by Black-owned companies, it's about 88.05%. Percentage of value of work by Black-owned companies is about 89.6%. Work opportunities created, it is about 9,129 individuals. Training provided to individuals, about 613. Road safety education is about 525,504 individuals. Community development projects worth of 31.2 million. Concessionaire work by SMMEs, we look at TrackFest, they spend about 119.6 million construction and 13 million for CSI. Job creation in construction sector, they created about 1,150 total jobs, of which 760 were local. We go to Bakwena, value of SMME work, 29.86 million. They've created about 1,006 jobs, construction 117, maintenance 889, construction 68. We move to N3TC. The value is about 200 million. On average, they created about 1,030 jobs per month. We move to our communication, stakeholder engagement, and community involvement. The Minister of Transport conducted site visit to oversee developments along flagship road infrastructure and associated community development project carried out by Sunroll nationally. And Sunroll convened about the total 270 stakeholder engagements, activation, and events. And these assist us in making sure that our projects are not disturbed, that we engage very well, and we communicate with all stakeholders. In terms of public events, engagement with provincial and local government, traditional leaders, information sessions, ministerial and presidential events, and this is the chart to demonstrate different events that were conducted in the year. Presidential oversight visit. The President, Cyril Ramaphosa, undertook the site inspection on Sunroll's first flagship project, which are aligned with country's strategic infrastructure project. Event breakdown, we had community outreach, we had brand activation, and you can see the chat up here. Project event, road safety activation, exhibition and conference, scholarship and bursaries, SMME workshop, seminars, and presidential and ministerial and presidential events. Media relations and media tones. So we monitor our
messages that we get on our social media, whether they are mixed, negative, neutral, or positive. So if you look at the broken down per month, you can be able to see that majority are on the positive and neutral, and we do have some negative and mixed tones as well. But majority is lying between the positive and the neutral, the sentiments on the media articles and social media. And then we move to the social media in terms of subscribers, because we are in the digital age and we monitor this as well, Tim. If you look at Facebook, we have about 200, as at 31st of March, 272,072 followers on Facebook, 82,601. On Twitter, we have 12,557. On YouTube, Instagram, we have about 13,963. LinkedIn, we have 39,332. This column shows the annual growth followers. So you can see it's an upward movement for all different social media platforms. And these are a number of posts and tweets and uploads and engagements on our social media platform. And obviously, Facebook is the one that tops all of them. We move to human capital. The bulk of SANRAL workforce within the realm of planning, as I explained before, when we looked at our objectives or strategic objectives at the beginning, planning, specialized contracting, and project management, all of which are professional engineers with in-depth knowledge of road system management, road design, and construction. Operational work is undertaken mainly by contracted engineering and construction companies. Senior managers, experienced professionals, and middle managers account for about 64% of the total employees at SANRAL. Employees by occupational category, you can see majority fall under professionals. Then we've got skilled 29%. Semi-skilled, we have 4%. Unskilled, we have 3%. And top management, we have, it's a very less percentage. I think it's 1%. Then we have senior management at 12%. So you can be able to see majority of employees at SANRAL, they fall within professional and skilled employees. And then we look at the growth in SANRAL staffing. We are sitting at about 478 employees, and growth and diversity. SANRAL staff complement has decreased substantially from 13.22% growth in 2020 to 2021 to 9.6% growth in this reporting year. This was due to the impending structural and operating model review changes, which have imposed recruitment restrictions to allow the transition process to take place. So SANRAL embarked chair on the operating model review, and just before implementation, challenges that were identified that needed to be dealt with, and that investigation has since been completed, and board is making final decision in how we move forward with that operating model review. Hence the decrease in staff complement. The total number of employees at 31st of March is 427 nationally, and the total number of development appointments, which is candidate, engineer, and interns, was 51, bringing the combined headcount to 478. Workforce profile, Chair, I think it speaks for itself. It shows unskilled broken down per gender. It's unskilled 9%, female 9%, and male 91%. Semi-skilled 42% female and 58% male. Skill 25% female, 75% male. Professionals 58% female and 42% male. And you can see, Chair, that predominantly we have female representation. in majority within SANRAL, and occupation by population, occupational categories by population groups. You can see that majority of employees at SANRAL, they are African, followed by colored, Indian, white, and foreign nationals. Workforce profile, employee profile by population group and gender. I think this is the continuation of the previous chair. I will skip this. Employee development. SANRAL encourages obviously development of employees, skills and knowledge. And this is covered by on-the-job learning to e-learning, participation in short courses, workshop studies for diplomas, degrees at undergraduate and postgraduate levels. A total of 278 employees were trained during the year or period under review, and this is what was spent. About 3 million that was spent. The total of 115 employees, including 23 new applicants, were awarded bursaries for tertiary studies during 2021-2022, and more than half of the bursary recipients, which is 64%, were engaged in postgraduate. So this is the comparison for the past 3 years. We can see there's a little bit of decline in this current financial year for different. If you look at postgraduate has gone down, and if you look at professional certificate, they've increased, and the undergraduate has increased as well. Employee development, internal bursary recipients by course of study. It's a breakdown of what I've just shown, Chair, and this one is breaking it down per female and male, and we can see that majority of bursaries have been awarded to female colleagues. We continue with employee development. The SANRAL Graduate Development Program has evolved over the period of 13 years, initially established to provide training to civil engineer graduates via secondment on a case-to-case basis. The program is now structured with increasing focus on inclusivity and transformation. You can be able to see that here, the composition of candidates, engineers at T, we've got 26.83 female and 73.17 male, and we anticipating more intake of female candidate engineers at Technical Excellence Academy, which provides training for graduates from engineering, civil engineering. The Technical Excellence Academy and Extended Graduate Training Program is a facility that assists graduates in fulfilling practical experience and work-integrated learning that is aligned to their careers and required by professional registration bodies such as EXA and South African Council for Quantity Surveying Profession. So they get on-the-job learning and training. So this is how the composition of key candidates by population group. So majority of them are African, and followed by colored, Indian, and then white. Scholarships and external bursaries. In 2021-2022, scholarships were awarded to 225 learners, 71% of whom were girls. The annual number of scholarships has varied only slightly in recent years. Investment in this is about 6.3 million, majority being African, colored, Indian, and white, and then majority being female and male, followed by 29%. External bursaries, this is the external bursaries awarded. We awarded about 135 in total, and majority being to male, and then followed by female 58. And this is broken down per African being the ones dominating chair. Internship, interns on SANRAL contracts by gender. Female 39%, male 61%. So every regional office facilitates the placement in the work integrated learning programs through the road construction and maintenance contracts. The intern signs the work integrated learning contract with the training service provider. who provides the necessary training guided by the student's logbook as they design for respective discipline. And work integrated learning is open for all disciplines and runs for either 6, 12, or 18 months, depending on the different disciplines. Chair, I will pause here, and my colleague, the Acting Business Operating Executive, will take us through the ICT part.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, CEO. The presentation here is just to give an overview that talks to our ICT strategy, and it also indicates and talks to how this is linked to the overall business strategy. When you look at the ICT strategy, it had five pillars, and those pillars really talk about looking at connectivity, and connectivity talks about, you know, the organization has several devices across the organization, and how do you use the current infrastructure the organization has in order to, you know, reduce the dependency on your major providers and become more independent and use the infrastructure that the organization owns. And with that project, we have seen the rollout of a national network, and that national network will result in all our toll operating services, our freeway management services. We have quite a large footprint of devices that sits on our roads. And it also will then place us in good stead when we start talking about the technologies that lead to autonomous vehicles and those various technologies in vehicle-to-vehicle communications, so that that infrastructure we have is leveraged to be able to take us into the 21st century around that specific area. Security is a very critical part. It's also to ensure that our systems are secure, the information is reliable, the integrity of our information is protected, as well as the availability of our systems. As you would know and seen in some media, you know, hackers who become disgruntled by whatever policy position you put forward, maliciously may intend to do whatever they think would ruin your reputation. So it is a key focus for us. Digital is a very important one, and it's one that we had to learn lessons around COVID, and we were quite in an advanced stage, which led to a very low impact to no impact from a business continuity operations point of view. And we're still embarking on several projects that brings about the full digitization of the organization and reduces the amount of paper and the amount of brick and mortar type of working. And it also makes work accessible from whatever location, whatever device, as long as you have a network connection. From a technology modernization point of view, one of the key projects, incidentally, we had a meeting yesterday with the revenue services, and we've looked at what are the synergies from a government perspective on how do we digitize, simplify, and make the procurement and engagement from a procurement point of view simpler for the end user. And really coming to a point that it reduces the value chain in terms of the amount of time spent by bidders just on standard documentation, compliance checks, and so on. And it also assists the organization in a throughput point of view. So those are the key aspects that we embarked on. And I think the theme is really about modernization, simplification, and improving our assets in terms of ensuring we get the return of investment from the various assets that we've deployed across the organization, internally and externally. Thank you very much, Chair. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Adolf. I will go through this. This is our corporate performance report. It's contained in Volume 2, page 30 to 32. So the first outcome is optimally maintained national road network. The total output indicators, the output is management of national roads. Total output indicator is 4, targets achieved 4. So reason for explanation, maintenance of national road network, total output is 4, targets achieved 2, and the reason for non-achievement of the target is the delays in the award of resale contracts, and we have about 3 months ramp-up period after the award, which resulted in limited actual expenditure from projects being procured in terms of the latest annual procurement requirements. So as I explained at the beginning, in terms of the decrease in total spend was due to a number of reasons, and the first one being the 18-month delay and the COVID, and in the first quarter of the last quarter of the previous financial year, where we couldn't, after that National Treasury announcement. But as I indicated, Chair, we have since come up with the turnaround strategy on the procurement to fast track the procurement process to have projects on the ground. So the transformation obviously is impacted as well. In total output indicator 2, targets achieved 1. So similar issue as it relates to the procurement process, the delay in there. Community development as well. This one is procurement delays, but more so even in the finalization of the implementation plan of the approved strategy on the community development. And we'll see lots of these coming through. Actually, we're going through just before this meeting the budget, and it shows that the forecast on this it's quite high after we finalize the implementation plan. Jobs created on project full time, job creation of jobs, total output indicator 1, targets achieved 0. The annual target for job creation was only met for the year, and it cascades from tender delay in tender awards. Internship, creation delivery capacity for the country, internships, provision for bursary, provision for scholarships, all of them have been achieved. Safer roads, provision and management of safe roads infrastructure, total output indicator 2, targets achieved 1. Improved public road safety education and awareness achieved. Improved SANRAL reputation achieved. Constructive engagement with stakeholder achieved. So we in total we achieved about 70% of our KPIs. Then we move to annual financial statement. Our CFO will take us through this.
Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. I will be brief. The first is the financial position. I think the only thing that I wanted to highlight on this one is if you look at on the left-hand side where it says non-current assets, you'll see the increase from 2021 to 2022 was 448 to 519 billion rand. So that's an indication of what the value of our road assets are across the country. This value is derived with the replacement value, but it also takes into account the condition of the road. But you can see there's been a good increase in the value of the roads due to the spending on it. If you also look at the line just below it, where it says current assets, it's always important when you want to understand whether the entity is healthy that you look at that number, 45 billion, versus the current liabilities, which is on the right-hand side. You'll see there it's 28 billion. So as long as your current assets are more than your current liabilities, it means that you will be able to pay your liabilities in the next 12 months. On the next slide, it is in the income statement or the profit and loss. You will see on this side the revenue for the year. There is a slight increase from the prior year. That's mainly due to the higher contribution from National Treasury on our grant. You will also note that the finance costs are more than the prior year. but we do see that this is the increase is reducing over time as we are paying back the maturing bonds as they become due and payable. Now, operating expenses on this slide, you will also see that it's increased from 11 to 13 billion rands. Now, in a SANRO environment, this is something that is good because it means we are spending our on the road. So the operating expenses is mainly the maintenance costs that we are spending on our roads. And I think you would have seen in the graphs earlier on that this where this money has gone to in terms of spending on the roads. And then on the next slide is just quickly on the cash flows. That's the cash flow statement. You will see that there is still significant cash in the entity and where it's increased from the previous year. Then on the next slide, maybe I can quickly go through the audit report. The audit report was an unqualified report by the AG. So it's the next slide, I can see here. There we go. So the AG then focused on three matters. So every year they identify the three matters. This year it was again the revaluation of the road network. Because it's such a massive value in our balance sheet, it's very important that they make sure that that value is correct. Then the expected credit losses, because of the current issue on the ETOL, the AG then specifically makes sure that the value that we reflect there as the debtor owed to SANRO and the revenue is accurate. So they have a specific focus on this. The Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project, the ETOL revenue, as I indicated, I also specifically look at this to make sure that the revenue is correctly recorded. And you will see on all three of these, the outcome by the AG was positive, that they found that the values that it reflected was reasonable and accurate. And on the next slide, the material uncertainty, the AG raised this specifically. The members would recall that this has been an ongoing issue where the AG raised the concern regarding the collection of ESOL and the impact of that on the...
CFO, there is a lot of disturbance where you are. Can you minimize the noise around you, please?
Inge, are you there? I think it's on your side.
Sorry, Chair, I hope it's better now.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The material uncertainty, like I said, this has been raised by the AG every year, that this is putting severe strain on the entity because there's no certainty in terms of how our ability to raise funding on the toll side to fund the significant capital expenditure that is required on our toll roads across the country. So the AG in the report then brings this to the attention of the reader, and it also refers the reader to note 44 of the financial statements. Most of this I've now explained. We have indicated to you, if you look at SANRO as a holistically as a company, it is a going concern. However, because the two portfolios, toll and non-toll, are separated or ring-fenced in terms of the SANRO Act, you have to look at the toll portfolio and the non-toll portfolio by itself also to see if they are healthy. And if you do this assessment, that you would see that there's significant pressure on the toll side because of the uncertainty of the revenue for the future. Chair, and if I've got only 2 minutes, the next slide just talks to the emphasis of matter that the AG also said that they want to make sure that the readers of the financial statements go to the notes in the financial statements, so they provide emphasis on the material impairments. This is the expected credit losses. So what we indicate here is we expect not to collect about 10.1 billion rand because of the on the e-toll receivables because of our inability to enforce the collection there. So that's why the AG then brings emphasis of method. They state that it's important to understand that this is a significant amount and that there is judgment in determining that value. And then further on the irregular expenditure, as always, they bring specific attention to the value. And if we can go to the next slide, then I can quickly talk to that one specifically, which gives the graph of our irregular expenditure over time. I think, CEO, if you can just move to the next slide. So there it shows that over time we've managed to reduce our irregular expenditure significantly. However, in this last financial year in 2022, there was one single tender of 415, well, the expenditure for the year was 415 million rand, where in the assessment or in the tender evaluation, the tenderer that was awarded was not disqualified for not submitting a bank rating form or bank confirmation. Now, in Sandra's view, that is an administrative matter, and therefore you should not regard them as non-responsive. However, the AG said that because it was part of our tender conditions, that this one is then irregular. In the period post this event, we have changed our tender data to make this bank rating letter not compulsory. They still need to submit it, but if it's not submitted by tender close, we can still request it afterwards. So it's not material to the extent that you have to declare them as non-responsive. So that specific item, we still have to go through the process of applying to National Treasury for condemnation. Chair Radis, Acting CEO, I'm all hand back to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. That's all from SANRAL with as it relates to the integrated report for 2021-2022. I don't know, Chair, if you want to wrap up, but I think we've exhausted our time, Chair. So I will be directed by you. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Acting CEO and your team. You did very well. I would like to invite the honorable members to show hands who would like to have a bite at this. First one is Honorable Mabena. Anybody else? Honorable Kumalo. Honorable Makosini Chabalala. Chabangu. Apologies, colleague. It's end of the day. Anybody else? Do we only have those three hands? All right, in that order, Honorable Mabena, Honorable Kumalo, Honorable Chabangu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Sincere apologies. We're in the same room, so there's no need for me to show my video. He was the only person that can order and give such instructions. Is the committee chairperson. No other person can say I must show my video because we're only accountable and why is the mercy of the committee chairperson. And he's satisfied that he's speaking to the actual real person and not a board or a ghost. So, sincere apologies, I won't be able to show my video. Chairperson, if we look at slide 8 in terms of the presentation by Sandra, essentially only about 11.8% of the pavement condition that they manage is considered to be in a very good shape. And then once you go back in terms of that, you have a situation where about 48.2% of the same pavement condition is considered to be okayish. They note it here as fair and poor and very poor. So that's about 48.2% of the actual pavement condition in South Africa being in disparate condition. And also, if you look at the 2020 and 2021, the maintenance of the non-toll road network has also somehow decreased and not up to scratch. And then also, if you again, if you look in terms of the, I think it's what the CFO was talking about in terms of the finance cost. Here they're saying about 37%. This finance cost is it also attributed to the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project. If we were to remove that, how would that affect this finance cost? Because if you look at this now, if you remove the or bulk of this finance cost, would I be correct to say that it is as a result of the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project? This is on the part of the toll network and in terms of the expenditure. There's also in terms of, if you again jump to slide, but before we go there, the road safety education, you note here that you had an impact of 525,000. 504 individuals. And in terms of the breakdown, in terms of provinces, which provinces did you cover? And were these face-to-face road safety education, or does this extend to also the media as such as that? And also, why is it only 525,000? Why is it not more? But also, which provinces did you cover? If you go to slide 43, if you jump there, you go to slide 43, the audit outcome or the audit report, the irregular expenditure. I think it's what this also in part is what we're talking about in your closing remarks with regards to the bank rating and the letter that even if the contract is closed, you can still apply for such a letter or for condonations. But here is the challenge. In terms of this audit report, it is noted that you had 415 million rands non-compliance and the recommendation here or the comment from the AG is that the non-compliance, the tender or the tenderer was evaluated further should have been disqualified for not submitting this bank rating. Yet you still continued with the same contract. What happened there? Now again. In fact, the total irregular expenditure is 487 million rand. Now, you only spoke at length and at great length about the 415 million rand. But then in there is a challenge where there's about 72 million rand of irregular expenditure, which you did not really say anything about. Because you concentrated on the 415 million rand, which has the bank letter implications. Now, there's the 72 million rand, which is also here, which is not accounted for. That's almost about 100 million rand. Now, earlier on, I spoke about the 48.2% of your pavement network being in almost desperate poor conditions. But also, if you go back again, and you look at the investment that you put in terms of supporting children and in terms of students. You invested 6.3 million rands in terms of scholarships and bursaries. Yet you had 72 million rands worth of irregular expenditure. Now, if one quickly does the numbers, essentially, you were spending 28,000 rands per student. That's about 225 students. But now, if we were to take this irregular expenditure of 72 million rands, the opportunity cost there is that you could have had an opportunity to actually take about 2,572 students that could have been supported through scholarships and bursaries. Now, what happened there? And why are we having a 72 million rand irregular expenditure, which is almost unexplained here? But also, my big question also speaks to the board risk and audit committee. What when this was reported to you in terms of the board, what did you do? Are there any mechanisms that you took at board level to address this? But also coming back at management level internally, the executive, because I believe that there should also be internal audit risk and accounting mechanisms that you have, which would seek to ensure that this issue does not reach where you are. Because if you were to compare the regular expenditure, you've actually suffered a regression and you more or less moved to 2017 levels. That's where your irregular expenditure was also quite high. Now,
as you wrap up, Honorable Mabe.
As a wrap up, but also the supply chain management in terms of this issue. What happened? And also, why should you, as the CFO of the company, not be held accountable for 72 million rands worth of irregular expenditure? And you should also advise in terms of the consequence management that you implemented in as far as your role is concerned. And if not, wouldn't it be prudent that yourself as the executive and also including the CEO, that there should not be steps that should be taken against you? Because we cannot have a 72 million rand regular expenditure at such a critical entity which oversees some of the most desperate road conditions, which also is linked to road fatalities and everything else. So, Chairperson, that would be my proposition. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kumalo.
Thank you, Chair. Let me apologize upfront that what I will be forming part of my question might be captured. Hence, I am in a place where connectivity is very poor. The weather here is windy, and when it is windy, the connection is very poor. Okay, my question is on the first presenter, where the job creation has been made, 1,000 and old. You will recall, Chair, that as women of South Africa, when job creation is made, our interest is more focusing on how many women do benefit on those jobs. And we do not anymore looking at the job where Sandral will tell us that there are jobs created while there is a woman standing on the road waving some red flag, not even having an understanding of what does that waving mean. We are now talking of women in construction being involved. We are more interested in that. Chair, as far as you know, as a South African citizen, I think you are well aware that in all departments, we are almost every time when we have gatherings, do want to hear the set aside for women in general. But as women in government in particular, wanting to know that the huge jobs, meaning construction, where women will be able to involve other and employ other women. How many are those women that are in that job creation or the job that has been made mention? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kumalo. It will now be the time for Honorable Chabangu. I have also recognized Honorable Ramadua, who will be the last. Honorable Chabangu.
Thank you, Chair, for pronouncing my surname correctly. Let me take this opportunity to also accept the presentation. The first question, Chairperson, would be, SANRAL has advertised on the walls of particular businesses in the Free State. I would like to know the criteria they have used to advertise on these walls and how much do they give to the owners of those businesses. Then the bursary holders, how do they pay back the bursaries? Do they have to work for your company, which is SANRAL, for a certain period after completing their studies? Or do they work for a certain period in order to gain the experience, or you just leave them to see what to do on their own? Finally, what is your position with regard to the e-tolls in Gauteng? Are you scrapping them or are you continuing with them? I'm asking this because the people of South Africa are waiting to hear from you whether you scrap them or you continue with them. Those are my three questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makosini. I'm not the acting chairperson, but I'm the acting chairperson. We're going to recognize Honorable Ramato.
You are acting on the acting.
Yes.
We can't hear Honorable Ramadan.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Acting Chairperson, for the opportunity that you have given me. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We can hear you.
Allow me to greet everybody who is in the meeting, and also join all who are welcoming the presentation. Chairperson, I want to check with the entity whether the CEO is acting or is them. The CEO is not acting. Ignore my ignorance that I didn't get that. I'm raising this, Chairperson. I wanted to check whether the CEO is acting or not of SANRAL. If it's acting, if she is acting, I want to indicate that, you know, this issue of vacant posts contribute in service delivery, because most of the places where there is acting
vacant, somebody's acting on a vacant post, there is instability because the people can't take a decision. But if she's not acting, it's fine. And then I'll also ask, when is the post going to be filled? Because it's important. Secondly, I want to also to add on what my colleague Honorable Mabena has said on the issue of audit report. During presentation, it was indicated that there is irregular expenditure. One of the things that was cited by the Auditor General was non-compliance. I want to check with the entity that do they have action plan or mechanism to implement the recommendation by the AG. Lastly, the issue of supply chain management. Do the entity have a system in place to make sure that there is in the supply chain management, they are able to comply? Because now we got a report that from the AG that there is non-compliance. So now we want to check whether there is supply chain there is a system in the supply chain management of the entity. Chairperson, that's my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ramadwa and Honorable Chabangu. You've got quite a lot of issues to respond to, Chair and CEO. In advising, maybe let me say the financial ones, supply chain management, which are quite a lot. Maybe we package those responses together, whoever will be responding. The acting or non-acting CEO position, chairman, I'm sure you can deal with that in a very short space of time. The issues raised by Honorable Kumalo around women set aside and figures, I would recommend that you respond to in writing within 7 days to the committee. I hand over back to you, chairman and CEO. I haven't repeated all the questions, but I just lifted the thing that I think can assist you in responding. Chairman, you can start or whichever way, or you will wrap up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think indeed I'd appreciate it if I could just wrap up so that I could cover anything that management would have left out. And indeed, I will deal with the matter of the appointment of the CEO. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll hand over to our acting CEO.
Thank you, Chair. We'll start with Honorable Mabena's questions. He indicated our pavement condition and the concern about 48%, as he indicated, that are from fair to very poor condition. But overall, as I was presenting, Chair, I indicated that the SANRAL is still within the 10% of the international standard. So we haven't deteriorated beyond the international standard. And I think our engineering executive can be able to elaborate on that. On the finance cost, you mentioned if we take out ETOLs or GFIP from the finance cost, and yes, you are correct, they are included in the finance cost. I think the CFO will be able to give you the actual figures and the picture how it's going to look. And Chair, as it relates to the 525,000 individuals that we interacted with during our
road safety awareness and education, I can guarantee that those were face-to-face. But as to the question to say which provinces, may I request that we do the same as Honorable Khumalo's response, that we come back in 7 days in terms of splitting it into which provinces and how many per province. You indicated that there is a drop in the maintenance from 2020 to 2021, and that I think we elaborated in terms of our spend and the cost for delays in rolling out of our project. But we've indicated as well that we have a turnaround strategy, procurement strategy that will catch up on the backlog. On the irregular expenditure part, I will leave it to the CFO to answer that. But just overall, as it relates to our process, if there's an irregular expenditure, is that it goes back to consequence management process that we have in place, and that goes to our loss control committee to assess the loss and if there's a need to apply for condonation. So I can confirm that the ones that are mentioned in the report, they have some have already gone through that process of loss control, and the report is being compiled to be presented to National Treasury applying for condonation. And as it relates to the advertising on the walls of particular businesses in Free State, I think it's very difficult for me, Chair, to answer this one without specifics. We will require more information to be able to answer properly, Chair. And as it relates to the e-tolls, the scrapping, all continuing, I think I will leave this to our chairperson, but just safe to say that SANRAL has been obviously consulted, and they have worked together with the Minister of Transport and Minister of Finance in providing all the information that is required or needed by the two ministers for the decision to be made. But it's not upon SANRAL to make that decision in terms of that. And in terms of bursary holders, so people who get bursary or receive bursary from SANRAL, and those that some of them, they make it to our Technical Excellence Academy, they are not compelled to work for SANRAL after they complete their studies. So they are not bound to work for SANRAL. But we always say that we train for South Africa. So once they are done with their, especially on the engineering side, they can be able to go and work anywhere after they obtain their qualifications. In terms of Honorable Ramado's question regarding the what do we have in place to make sure that the recommendations made by AG are implemented. So we, on an annual basis, we compile the audit response plan, which looks at all audit findings raised and action plans that have been put in place. And that this action audit response plan is monitored on a quarterly basis, is presented to Audit and Risk Committee, is presented to Board. And over and above that, our internal audit team, they do the review of all findings raised by AG to make sure that the issues are closed before the beginning of the new audit in the new in at the end of the financial year. And Honorable Mabena, there's one that I missed where you made comparison to say the 72 million irregular that we incurred could have contributed a lot towards the scholarship. I think the link between that the two, because the 72 million it's not money that was not spent on, it was spent on a project that was planned for SANRAL. It's just that it didn't adhere to prescripts. But work was done, value was obtained. And hence I'm saying it goes through the loss control committee to be able to assess if there was a loss or if SANRAL benefited from that, even though it was irregular. And that's the basis that we use to apply for condonation to National Treasury. I will give to, before I give to the chair, I think our engineering executive, if you can take, if you can elaborate on the pavement condition, and then our CFO, if you can look at the irregular expenditure part. Thanks.
Thanks, Acting CEO. Yeah, just quickly, in terms of the road condition, as indicated, 8.4% is in a poor to a very poor condition. The international norm is 10% for a well-maintained network as you sweat your asset towards the end of its life before you rehabilitate it. To put that figure of 8.4% in perspective, in SANRAL, we currently have some provinces where for their paved network, that figure of poor to very poor is sitting at 66%, with an average countrywide of just over 40% in a poor to very poor condition, to just put it in perspective. In terms of the details on the training, we will give the detail of the 1,813 schools per province, the detailed breakdown. And then I think in terms of the jobs created, the question there, of the 9,129, 2,482 or 27.2% were women, and of the 9,129, 4,483 or virtually 50% were youth in terms of the actual full-time equivalent jobs created during the year under review. Thanks.
Chair, then just on the irregular expenditure, I did not focus in the summary of in the presentation on the 72 million, but it is fully covered in the integrated report on each one. The 72 million is actually on a multiple project or multiple cases which were identified in prior years. So it's not new irregular expenditure, it was previously identified. But the full details are covered in the integrated report, volume 2, from page 205 to 213. So there it goes into detail on each of them and what has happened on each case. I think what is important is what the acting CEO also alluded to. On each case, in each instance, we were able to prove that value for money was achieved, and I think it's always important to understand that irregular expenditure does not mean it is fraudulent or there was anything untoward in that regard. Like I explained earlier, something like a bank confirmation letter that wasn't included in a tender could make the whole tender then become irregular, even though everything else was done perfectly. So I think the definition of irregular expenditure is always important to understand so that it's not misconstrued as fraudulent practices. But I think there is sufficient information in the integrated report to cover that. And then the consequence management process, which is defined in terms of the Treasury regulations, are followed in each case where there's been an irregular expenditure identified. Consequence management process starts with an investigation and then that leads then to a proposal to the loss control committee where recommendations can be made for whether it's now for a disciplinary process or whether it is for training or whether it's a change in the process to make the internal controls stronger. In terms of the SCM, yes, we do have a system for SCM compliance. On average, SANRAL receives almost 2,500 tender submissions per annum. So each one of those has to be looked at for 16 different steps in terms of compliance. So you can think that if you have to do 2,500 times 16, that sometimes it happens that one one of those are slipped, but what we do is we've added the proactive assurance by internal audit to assist us, especially on the big projects. We've also started with a probity checking where we have independent people check the processes as we continue to make sure that we don't slip up on any of the, even if it's administrative matters. Thanks, Chief.
Before you wrap up, Chair, I don't know if CEO you wanted to say something, but I need to give an opportunity. You see, in this committee, Chair of the Board, we have gone back physical now, you know. So Honorable Mabena is in front of me and he's insisting. He's insisting to have this quick follow-up. So I'll give him that opportunity. After that, CEO, we will tie up and hand over to the chair of the board. Honorable Mabena.
Thank you very much. I think in time is 60 seconds max. As CFO, here is the issue that maybe the point that I'm making. It's not about understanding how irregular expenditure is explained or is defined or whatever the case may be. And no one is arguing on the fact that you did not extract value from the project and that there was no service which was done or there were no goods which were received. But here is the issue. The fact that this issue is noted on your audit report, it says that there is a process flow which was flawed, something that you did not do in as far as compliance is concerned. And that is where I am going. Now, if you have a whole contract worth 415 million rands and someone neglects something, as I can walk into a bank, I can go on my app, on my phone, and get a bank confirmation letter in 2 seconds. And you want to tell me that a big corporate like Sanral, which employs so many people and there are so many people which are drawing a salary from supply chain management, no one, absolutely no one, on a 415 million rands contract, or to say that there's a bank confirmation letter which is missing. Now, here's another issue. Even though we are saying that these things are explained, my problem is you have a situation where your process, there are loopholes. There's someone that did not do their job. There's someone that neglected to read the compliance manuals which are there, in line with Treasury and in line with the Public Finance Management Act. Now, the issue still is, what consequence management did you guys follow? You mentioned something very vague about it, a disciplinary process. And you also said that these were not so material and that we were able to apply to Treasury for confirmation. But my argument still stays that the fact that these were noted and the fact that these are listed as you having procured or as you having had 72 million rands worth of irregular expenditure makes this report, if it was not an issue, it wouldn't be in the report in the first instance. And that is where maybe you and I are missing each other. But I'm just making that that emphasis here. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mabena. I think the point is well said, you know, and I think she did admit that going forward, they are reviewing those requirements. So which I think is an admission that at the time that was a requirement. Hence, the AG is flagging it. The AG would not have flagged it if it was not put up as a requirement in the first place. So you can respond to that in as brief way as you can. And then let us wrap up on this entity. CFO, that was specific to you. Can I give you a second bite to respond to that? Thereafter, acting CEO and then chairperson, you will wrap up. We are in referee's optional time.
Thanks, Jay. Yes, I'll be brief. Now, I agree fully with Honorable Mabena. The goal is always to have zero irregular expenditure. And the reference to the consequence management process, it's a very specifically defined process that the Treasury regulations specify. I've just given a brief couple of the steps, which is it starts with the investigation, but it's a very specific route that is followed, which is instructed by the Treasury regulations. And the reporting on the consequence management is part of it in the end, which is also submitted to the AG for the review. I think, Chair, that would be, I think let me stand by that. I think the irregular expenditure, the fact that it's mentioned by the AG is because it's a non-compliance within a Treasury instruction note, which is the issue. And the idea is not to have any of that. And our aim is every year to make sure that we have absolutely no irregular expenditure. And the systems that we put in place is specifically designed to make sure that that doesn't happen. Thanks, Chair, or Acting CEO.
Thank you, Chair. In wrapping up, I got cut off for a few minutes, for I think a minute, so I didn't hear when the CFO started. But the admission is the Chair of the irregular expenditure. It happened with all our systems that are in place, but we do have consequence management process that is being followed, and this one is also subjected to that consequence management process. And looking into the root cause so that we can be able to avoid it even in future if there are corrections that needs to be made. And I think the CFO has already alluded to that, to say we have since changed our processes as it relates what transpired in this specific case of 415 million. But we do have a consequence management process that we follow. But I think given the time, I'll hand over to the Chair for to be able to wrap up, our chairperson of the board.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me start off by saying we have listened very attentively to the whole committee, and we have noted the concerns of the committee, and indeed we shall talk about them internally and we shall address them. Honorable Mabena has emphasized a very, very important point that beyond anything else, just having irregular expenditure noted by the AG is something we should take extremely seriously. And indeed, our management does understand that. And from where we are sitting as the accounting authority, what we always do after these processes, once our report is served at this level of parliament and we've had our annual general meeting, we always convene with management and we go through the report and we highlight matters of concern, including those that would have been flagged by this committee. And therefore, Honorable Chair, we do want to assure the committee that we are taking these inputs very seriously and we shall address them in the serious manner with which this committee takes them. On ETOLs, Honorable Chair, we are, as SANRAL, satisfied that the Minister of Transport and the Minister of Finance and government broadly are seized very seriously with dealing with this matter. National Treasury has been asking for information, giving us particular permutations, asking us to do some calculations, get back to them with information, and therefore we are convinced from where we are sitting that this matter is receiving deep, deep attention by our Minister of Transport, the Minister of Finance, and indeed government. We know that the President is personally involved as well. And therefore, we do want to assure the committee that the matter is receiving attention. We just don't know exactly when they will pronounce on it, but we are very, very convinced that we are getting closer and closer to a resolution of this matter based on what government has been doing. Our CEO is acting indeed, Honorable Ramada, and I do want to indicate that the process of appointing a new CEO can be finalized any time during the course of this month. Based on my understanding of where the processes are, the Minister of Transport has been handling various recommendations that have come to him from the board of SANRAL, and indeed, based on reports I've been getting and questions that have been posed to me and to the company secretary, information that has been requested, that I could almost say an announcement is imminent, one way or another. We have been very fortunate, Honorable Ramada, that we have not had any instability in the organization based on the fact that we have an acting person. And I think this is due to two main things. One, the acting CEO has been given virtually all the powers that a substantive CEO has in writing. And that includes also being a full member of the board. And therefore, I think that has contributed to some stability there. But we've also had, at the level of our executive management and management broadly, general cooperation in relation to keeping the organization going and making sure that it remains stable and a going concern. And therefore, I can also assure the committee that on that front, there has been relative stability within the organization, and indeed we intend to have it continue along those lines. With those words, Honorable Chair, I do want to say thank you very much to the committee for its leadership and for holding us accountable. We have noted the points made, and we have noted other information that we must still send to the committee. And indeed, Honorable Chair, as the board, we will make sure that that happens. Not that we have to say this to you, because our management always leads us in responding to Parliament. Therefore, we have nothing to worry as far as that is concerned, worry about. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members.
Thank you very much, Board Chairperson, and all the members of the board who might be in the meeting. We appreciate your diligence in leading that very big organization. To your executive team, thank you for all those responses. Obviously, SANRAL is a very big entity. We take a lot of interest in it. There are a couple of issues that honorable members would have loved to raise. Others have been raised in the past, but because of the nature of this meeting, might not necessarily have been responded to. So be assured that you will hear soon from us so that we could have regular updates on certain things. We are concerned, despite the technical explanation of the acceptable international standard of the condition of our roads, but driving on our roads shows another picture. That is our lived experience. And we are not here to argue whether it's within international norms or standards or not. But we are saying our lived experience is telling us something else. The slow pace of finalizing MOUs where roads are handed over by provinces to yourselves is another major concern for us, causing these roads to deteriorate because they are sitting between a provincial authority and a SANRAL without those decisions being made. Having said that, Chair and your executive team, want on behalf of the committee to thank you once more and appreciate the effort. We wish you the best. And we come to the end of your part of the presentation. Thank you so much. Colleagues, we then go over straight to the Road Traffic Management Corporation. I did have an indication that the chairperson of the board had to be somewhere. And as a result, I believe he would have not been able to be in the meeting as we speak, subject to a different confirmation. We did say as a committee, we do understand and such that we will then know that the CEO who will take through the committee or anybody in the board who might be designated thereof. I do want to say, though, that we did see what the chairman's introductory remarks in the presentation. So they don't need to be repeated in their totality. Some things such as vision and mission, if it has not changed, I think we have heard it before. We would recommend that we go above those ones. They are there, they are documented. And rather we spend more time in the actual annual report and the performance of the entity. With those few words, I will now hand over to the RTMC. I see the CEO is there, and whoever might be there also to take it now to exactly 6:15 with no minute extra. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee on Transport, and all present in this meeting. I am Professor Maridim Pahlele, a board member of the RTMC, and also standing in for Mr. Zola Majavu. As you have indicated, he has tendered an apology. I'm also accompanied by the CEO, who indicated later on just now that he's with the doctor. He thought he'll finish. He hasn't finished. I'll see as the meeting goes by if he manages to come. I also have the Executive Manager of Financial Services, Liana Mulman. I've got other officials of the RTMC, and I'm also joined by the General Manager, Strategy Management, Refile Mungalo. Without further delays, I'll give an overview before I hand over to the CEO or the Financial Service, the Executive Manager for Financial Services, who will represent the CEO. The scope of the report provides financial and non-financial performance information of the corporation based on the approved 2021-2022 APP. And this will cover the chairman's overview, performance information, human resource management, financial performance, a governance report. Chair, we were ready to pass the baton as our term had lapsed as the board. However, the leadership deemed it prudent for us to continue to hold the fort until a new board is appointed. The responsibility entrusted on us is enormous, and we accepted it knowingly. We began the financial year with a clear mandate to enhance performance and to meet all our annual targets as guided by our annual performance plan. Reducing road traffic fatalities by 50% by 2030 remains our top priority. As a signatory of the United Nations Road Safety Collaboration, our role is to contribute to the reduction of road crashes in the country by successfully implementing our road safety strategy. As the board, we gave management a clear mandate to digitize the licensing system and for it to find expression in our daily operations. The board is happy with the progress made on that front, and this report bears testimony to that. We are also satisfied with the statement of the financial position presented in the report following a slow-paced revenue collection in the previous financial year. I'm proud to announce that out of 21 annual targets set for the period under review, 20 were achieved, which translated to 95% overall organizational performance for the 2021-22 financial year. This is an impressive improvement as compared to the previous financial year, where the organizational performance was a dismal 57%. This remarkable performance has been crowned by the clean audit outcome confirmed by the Auditor General. It is yet further evidence that the RTMC is a resilient organization that can bounce back after suffering setbacks. The RTMC remains a good corporate citizen and continues to offer much needed relief in our communities through our corporate social responsibility programs. Expression of gratitude to the entire shareholders committee, Minister of Transport, Mr. Fikile Mbalula, and Deputy Minister, Ms. Sindisiwe Chigunga, for their resolute support. Their guidance and leadership are a key ingredient to the success of our organization. I'd like to thank the support that the corporation receives from the portfolio committee. I'd also like to thank the Department of Transport stakeholders and other sister agencies for their collaborative efforts. Indeed, we are stronger together. Our strategic plan 2021-2024-2025 remains a key vehicle to achieve our goals as an organization, and I'd like to thank management and staff for ensuring that we achieve our objectives as guided by the plan. Certainly during the year under review, we continue to lose so many lives on our roads, which is regrettable and unfortunate. Our heartfelt condolences go out to all those families. We rededicate to double our efforts in our quest to save lives on our roads. One life lost is one life too many. I thank you, and hand over to the CEO with your permission, Chair. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. Itliana Moorman.
Sorry. And yes, let us please continue. I thought I did say continue. I gave you when the presentation should end. So it's not our intention to steal your time at all. So let it flow, please, with everyone who needs to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. And again, good afternoon to yourself and the members of the Portfolio Committee and everyone present. With the CEO being at the doctor's office, I will stand in for him with the presentation on the annual report. Chairperson, looking at our historical performance over the past 5 years, we had a decline from 2018-19 all the way to 2020-21. But we are happy to report that we have picked up in 2021-2022 to a 95% performance in the year. We have missed only one KPI, which was the attainment of the increase in revenue, which we just fell short. With regard to our service delivery, we have opened two new DLDCs, which I'm sure, Chair, is not new news to yourself and the members. One of the DLTCs being in Echo Park and the other in Midrand, showing exceptional performance from all the DLTCs in the country. So we are proud to say that one has our mark on it. With the traffic training personnel, we have taken in an additional 581 new traffic trainees on our NQF Level 6 traffic traffic officer qualification that is running at Denal currently. Quickly running through our programs, Chairperson. Program one, which is our operations in the main on road safety, we were covering youth programs where we targeted messaging on drinking and driving in particular, pedestrian safety, speeding, passenger safety, and distracted driving through the corporation's social media platform. We had road safety programs implemented with the interest groups. These were designed in collaborative manners to reach a wide audience with the objective of ongoing awareness and education. We also had school-based program developments and monitoring those, as well as community-based programs. Two traffic officer modules were delivered to the existing traffic officers. 10 modules on the NQF Level 6 traffic officer qualification was completed for traffic trainees, which shows a 3-module over-delivery. 9 modules on the NQF Level 6 road traffic training officer qualification was completed for road safety practitioners, which was also 3 modules over-delivered. On Program 2, which is our law enforcement, both law enforcement interventions that we had and inspections targeted were exceeded with 1,112 and 34,890 respectively. Program 3, which is our traffic intelligence, in the main our undercover unit, we had 100% of all the fraud cases that were reported, investigated, and 160 self-initiated fraud and corruption cases were investigated. On Program 4, which is our strategic services, 4 research studies were conducted during the year, which was the road traffic injury study, the South African road safety assessment methods, South African road restraint systems manual, and the South African fatal crashes in context study. Those reports are also available on our website. We had the implementation of the digitization program. 120 learners licensed testing centers were computerized through our collaboration with our IT unit, and a number of vehicle testing stations using digitized roadworthy testing sheets. So there we also attained all of our targets. In Program 5, which is our support services, the following 4 talent management initiatives were implemented was employee engagement survey, a review of HR policies, a review of the salary scale and salary normalization of staff, improved group benefits, and then moving on to financial services, where we had targeted a 13% increase in revenue, we managed to attain a 9% increase in revenue. Chairperson, is worth noting that our revenue streams that were new were only launched in February 2022, so that increase came in a little bit late for us. But nonetheless, we are making progress as things stand. On good governance on our financial services, the following targets were achieved. We had an unqualified clean audit report with no significant findings. 2 reports on the management of wasteful and fruitless expenditure were submitted to the DOT, both indicating none. We also indicated our 2 reports on irregular expenditure, where there were also none. There was also 100% compliance with our 30-day payment requirement. Chairperson, you would recall last year we had a case of irregular expenditure. I'm happy to report that that expenditure was in fact condoned by National Treasury, and it is also so reported in the financials. On communications, management of parliament questions, we had 12 parliamentary questions that were received and all were responded in the stipulated time. On the implementation of ethics programs, 100% investigation of the internally reported incidents of corruption was done, and 2 reports on the stages and operations of the ethics management committee. on risk management. The action plan to address the audit findings were developed, monitored, and also duly reported to the department. As a result, in that one revenue KPI, 90% of the planned deliverables were in fact achieved. Then moving over to human resources, with the scope of human resources management, there was the organizational structure as well as employment and vacancies by programs. The annual report does show the organogram of the corporation. Currently, some of the key vacant positions are in Mutaku, as well as our executive manager for the Road Traffic Training Academy, where we currently have someone in an acting position. Chairperson, I'm not going to go into much detail on the spending patterns. Our spending patterns indicated that in the previous year, we had 1.4 billion that was spent compared to last year's 1.18 billion. There was an overspend of 8% due to non-cash items in the main depreciation provisions, those kind of things. Looking at the operations, the overspend of 14% was in the main attributed to the delayed procurement due to the pandemic in the previous financial year, as well as the incoming traffic trainees that expenditure had to go towards. Then on law enforcement, there was an underspend of 2% against the allocated budget compared to the previous year. We had put in a lot of restraints when it came to your travel in the main to ensure that we try and save costs as far as possible. On traffic intelligence, there we ensured that the traffic intelligence unit in the main used their own vehicles. It did put a bit of a strain on the operations that they could conduct. However, we did see the benefit when it came to the cost. On strategic services, the overspend of 23% against the allocated budget of the previous year recorded an underspend of 4% in the previous year. The overspend is attributed to the NATIS refresh project, where the entire NATIS infrastructure was renewed. And that can also be seen in the current service delivery on the NATIS platform. On support services, it reflects 105% spend on the allocated adjusted budget against 124% in the previous year. And the overspend is also there attributed to your non-cash items. If we look at our spending per economic classification, our biggest spend lies in our cost of employees. We are in the main service delivery driven, hence our cost of employees is a big spend item on our financials. Also lying in our cost of employees, worth noting, is the students and their stipends, which also pushes up our cost of employees quite significantly. Chairperson, looking at our history on our audits, we have in the past years since 2014-15, all the way we have gotten unqualified audit reports, and we are happy to report that this year was a clean unqualified audit report with no emphasis of matter. Prof, would you want to take us through the Audit and Risk Committee report, or should I continue?
You can continue, thank you.
Thanks, Prof. The committee complied with its responsibilities arising from Section 51 of the PFMA, as amended, and the Treasury Regulation 27. They reviewed its terms of reference during the year and discharged their responsibilities in terms of the provisions thereof. The Audit and Risk Committee members and attendance The committee had 5 independent non-executive members. During the period under review, the committee held 4 scheduled meetings and 4 special meetings. The committee met separately with external and internal auditors as well as with management. The chairperson of the audit committee reported to the board on a quarterly basis regarding the committee's statutory and oversight responsibilities. In respect of financial information and the finance function, the committee reviewed the following: adequacy, reliability and accuracy of the financial information provided by management on a quarterly basis, recommended for board approval several policies, delegation of authority framework and the funding model, annual financial statements, and was satisfied with the statements having been prepared in terms of the PFMA and the GRAP standards. The experience, expertise and resources of finance functions were found adequate. In respect of the internal control and risk management, the committee continued to monitor key strategic risks identified and mitigations on a quarterly basis. The reports on progress made to mitigate the identified strategic risks were also presented to the board. The committee monitored the effectiveness of the control function of the environment through review of reports from internal audit, risk management, as well as external auditors. They ensured the quality of financial reporting by reviewing the draft financial statements and the annual report. The committee is of the view that the systems of internal controls are adequate. However, there is always room for improvement. In respect of governance of information technology, the committee fulfilled an oversight role by monitoring on a quarterly basis the achievement of the set targets and implementation of the ICT strategy. In respect of the internal audit function, the committee is satisfied that the internal audit function maintains an effective internal quality assurance and program that covers all aspects of the internal audit activity. Continue to monitor the implementation of plans and address internal and external audit findings issued by the internal audit unit as well as the AGSA. The committee is satisfied about the outcome of partial conformance of the external quality assurance review conducted and a plan to address the areas of improvement is being implemented and monitored. In respect of the AG's report, the committee concurs with the accepts the conclusion of the clean audit opinion of the AGSA on the annual financial statements, annual performance report, and compliance with legislation. The committee confirms that it was actively involved throughout the audit process and met with the AG's team to ensure that there are no unresolved issues. The committee also acknowledges the diligence of the AGSA team. The committee has therefore recommended the audited annual financial statements read together with the report of the AGSA and the performance report for board approval. And that concludes our presentation of the annual report. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very, very much, Team RTMC. Prof, anything you want to tie up before I invite the colleagues in the committee to ask questions?
For now, we are okay, Chair. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Colleagues, I now invite you by show of hands to see who would like to have a bite at this. I recognize Honorable Mabena. Any other taker? Honorable Pete May. Honorable Chabangu. Anyone else? Let us start. We start with Honorable Mabena, Honorable Pete May, and Honorable Chabangu.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Again, let me congratulate RTMC for an unqualified audit with no findings. Well done on that. And also, just to also give some sort of, you know, we also have to acknowledge when good things have been done. The DLTC that we established in Midrand at the Gautrain station, the service that is being provided, the way that those people are taking care of our citizens and the way that they take pride in what they do, they are actively redefining how we interact with government services and with civil servants. And the way the efficiency and the way that they ensure that everything that has and needs to be done is done correctly. So we applaud you, and you know it's good, but you know it's only just one station. Perhaps if you can just use that as a springboard and transfer all of that and all of that passion, all of that service with pride, all of that taking pride in what you do and the act of service that civil servants are doing. It's a moment of pride that we pride ourselves with. So congratulations and well done on the excellent service that you provide at the Gautrain DLTC Midrand thingy. Jumping right into the report, if you go to program 3, slide 14, I have a serious problem with these targets. You have 100% attained these government targets, but let me put things this way. You say here that all fraud and corruption complaints have been investigated and closed. That's it. You say has been investigated, but you don't say whether they have been completed. Has there been any prosecution? Has there been any arrest? What happened? And then again, you go back and say 160 self-initiated fraud and corruption cases were also investigated. Again, you say 100% target met. It's like saying that, it's like me saying that I'm going to go to the shop and I need bread, but I just go to the shop and come back. And nothing. Yes, I've met the target 100% because I went to the shop, but did I get what I wanted to get at the shop? No. So these targets, and this is my recommendation to the board and also to the executives that are listening. We can't want to see, you can't want to see 100% attainment of target or targets being met, but when you look at the matrix which are here, it just don't make sense. You investigated, then what? As I said, prosecution, arrest, has there anyone that's been fired internally? What is happening? And I am making a strong case that such needs to be changed. And then secondly, if you move again to slide 15, program 4, you say that there has been 120 learner's license testing centers which have been digitized. And then you also say here that you've met this target. It's 100% you've achieved this thing. But, you know, we did an oversight in the Free State. I think it was last year. We walked into a DLTC facility which was also recently digitized. And I think in the center, if I'm not mistaken, my colleagues can correct me, there were about 8 computers which were there. And out of the 8, unfortunately, only about 2 of them were functional. But in terms of the way you are reporting here, even that DLTC there in the Free State, you would say that it's a target which has been met 100%. And I'm saying to you, we need to change the way that we set our metrics, and we must not only actively push to say that we've met this target, but what is the value that we're extracting from that thing? Yes, it's good that you are digitizing and you are moving into the digital space and making the services to be digital. That's good. But How many of these 120 testing centers at any given point in time are performing at 100%? And also, what is the downtime of all of them in terms of you fixing this thing? You see, the more you do well, the more you're also inviting problems. Just merely by just being in South Africa now, you know that we don't have electricity at any given point in time. Currently, the NC government says that we must use electricity. We must take turns using electricity. We must borrow each other time to use electricity. Now, the issue is, at any given point in time, you can't be operating at 100%, especially when we're having load shedding. Now, what are the mitigating processes that you have? Where you have digitized the system, there's no power. Do you have any backup generators in the facilities and all of those things? If you move again to program 5, slide 16, I think you touched on this, but maybe I just want to understand. When you say that you've reviewed the salary scale and salary normalization, what are you saying? Are you saying that there were employees which were perhaps maybe not being remunerated correctly in line with what is recommended? And if yes, can you also give us details of that? And then you also improved the group risk benefits. What are you saying here? And then we move along to slide 25, where you say that the traffic intelligence and security underspent by 6%. And also the same thing happened in the previous year where you underspent by 9%. But then you qualify this by saying that the unit was performing optimally and they were doing very well and excellently. And the way you qualify it, you say that the reason why you were continuously underspending is because you used internal resources that you had in terms of vehicles. Now, my question is, if there are internal vehicles that you can use and you can achieve and extract value and provide a service, in the first instance, which also results in you having to underspend because you are not leasing any vehicles, why were you intending to lease vehicles in the first place? Because internally you have capacity to perform the service and ensure that you can fulfill it, but then you again were planning to lease vehicles externally. That to me does not make sense. Maybe you can help me so that it can make sense, because I'm not in the space, and that may might be a challenge for me. And then if we move on in terms of the audit risk committee, perhaps this is one of the things that contributed to you getting a clean audit, because I see that you took some effort and real effort in ensuring that you do good work here. And the way that the audit risk committee was continuously making sure that they do due diligence and making sure that you're compliant, which contributed to your clean audit. But now here is the issue. We say that there were 4 scheduled meetings of the audit and risk committee members. And then there were 4 special meetings. Now, my question is, are these at board level or are these at executive level? If these are at board level, board meetings carry costs which are associated with. And if there are 4 scheduled committees which needs to be held, and especially for audit risk committee, and then you have outside of that 100% spike in terms of unscheduled or special meetings, that has a negative impact in terms of expenditure. Of course, this is on the assumption that this audit and risk committee is at board level. But if it's at executive level, obviously that means the cost can now be attributed internally, and therefore you don't have to incur any cost there. And the irony would be, if this is at board level, we are doing so well, the people that are policing and making sure that you don't that you comply with your finances are the ones which are actually making you or are potentially exposing you to the risk of you not complying. But obviously, as I said, if these are at the executive level, then there is no issue. But if these are at board level, then I think maybe there's something that we can explore there and see. But nonetheless, again, congratulations on the unqualified audit with no findings. And also, again, on your mid-range Gautrain station at LTC, which is doing well. Someone might say that it pains me to say this, but it does. It's a good thing, and it shows progress. Thank you very much.
Honorable Pitchman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to ask a question about the renewal of driver's licenses. What is the situation of a renewal of driver's licenses, especially in smaller towns where there's no pick and pace or big business? Why can't driver's schools not be given permission to renew licenses? Then I've mentioned the name of a DLTC in Gilbertina in the Eastern Cape many times. It was closed last year in February. The manager ignored the instructions from the inspectorate and he closed it. But they started to renovate it in February this year, but I visited it about 2 weeks ago and we hope it will be open by January next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Pete May. Honorable Shabang.
Follow the protocol of, let me take this opportunity to congratulate the two advocates from Free State for mission well accomplished. Keep it up, guys. You have achieved a clean audit. Honorable Mabena has just taken all of the questions that we wanted to ask. But I've got only one question to ask from you. Last year during COVID, you had a very serious problem of issuing licenses. And you ended up extending the period of renewing licenses. How best have you and how people can get their licenses in good time? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chabangu. Just to remind you that we are a national committee of portfolio committee in the National Assembly. So we don't provincialize any accolades. The RTMC is a national entity of the state. But I'm sure your points are taken very, very well. Prof, and your team, please distribute those questions amongst yourselves. Those that you can, those that are comments, you will note them. If there's anything you can't respond to, you will indicate when we will like you to respond to it in writing. Over to you, Prof. You can distribute.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you so much. And thanks for the comments and the questions. For now, I'll distribute to our CFO, Liana Mulman.
Thank you, Prof. And thank you, members, for the questions. I will take a first round of attempting to answer and then allow my colleagues to also fill in where I'm missing some. I'm going to start with Honorable Mabena, who I'm sure I agree with. Honorable Shabangu, he has covered basically all of the questions. Thank you for the acknowledgement on the DLPCs that we had opened and the functioning thereof. It is very well received. With regards to the slide 14 in particular, when it comes to the prosecutions and arrests, it might be something that we can take home to actually report back in the annual report some of the arrests that have been made. Several arrests have been made and they were reported on in the news and everywhere. We might actually just have to look into how do we report those in the proper way in the annual report. But I can assure you that in several provinces, not going into particular provinces, we've had a couple of big arrest programs running concurrently with the Hawks. With regards to the digitization of, in particular, the learner licenses, Chairperson, we have made sure that wherever we digitalize a learner license station, we install UPSs to ensure that if a test is running, the test can continue and the test can be concluded on. We do experience problems where the non-functioning of these units are not reported to the RCMC. Or at least not reported in time. We also have generators at all of the DLTCs where we actually run the generators where we find centers not having paid their bills, where we run the generators at extremely large costs. But we do try to ensure that the equipment do not get damaged due to load shedding. We are working on communication streams, but you will also know that the more digital you go, the more you curb fraud and corruption, which is not always what the fraudsters want. So we do have a problem with the reporting of these sites to us to fix, because we do have set turnaround times in sending our technicians to get these devices actually fixed in a set time. Just want to make sure that I'm covering all of the questions that I had noted. With regards to the vehicles where Honorable Mavena raised, if they can do the program with their own vehicles, why do we lease? This is in the main our undercover unit, and their cover does get, for lack of a better word, busted when they do continue to use the same vehicles, which is why we do sometimes rent vehicles for them. It does have a bearing on their investigations and the way they also their safety. We actually did have one of our Ntaku members being targeted and shot at. Luckily, he did survive. But that's the main reason why we lease them vehicles, is to try the exposure to them in their personal capacity limited. The one on the question that Honorable Mabena had asked on the audit committee meetings, these were at committee level. However, it didn't have a bearing on the cost, because our audit committee is being paid a retainer fee. The reason for the additional meetings that we had was workshops that we held on risk, as well as our funding model, to ensure that the audit committee is on the same page as we are when it comes to the funding model and what we want to roll out. So those were more on a workshop basis, and also to address audit findings. Are there better ways to perhaps respond to these? But it didn't have a bearing on cost and increasing the cost. Just trying to see what have I missed. Honorable Member Pete May, with regards to the driving schools being allowed to issue licenses, this function lies with the MEC of every province. And the power for anyone, even the RTMC, to be in a position to renew driver's licenses is a power that comes from the particular MEC, which we were granted by MEC Mawabolo to open our own DLDCs. So that is something that's not in particular within our control. Honorable Shabangu, the question with regards to the backlog that we had experienced with the licenses, this was the main reason that MEC Mamabolo gave us permission to open the two additional DLTCs to ensure that we catch up with the backlog. And the problem that we are experiencing now is that members of the public are not presenting themselves. They are not coming, the facilities are there, but they are not coming to renew their licenses. Not sure what it is that they're waiting for, but the number has decreased in terms of the backlog, but there is still a big number of backlog, and it's not a matter of capacity because the capacity has been created. Speaking from our own DLTCs that are open from 7 in the morning until 9 in the evening, we have situations where we are fully booked for the entire day, but you still have people not showing up for these bookings. So that is one of the measures that were implemented. Prof, I'm not sure if I have covered all the questions. Perhaps my members that are here can assist. I think there is one that I didn't cover, and it was on HR, because I saw that Nompumelelo is actually in the meeting, if you can assist me for me.
Thank you, Liana, and good evening, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Members and our colleagues. On HR, the two questions around the normalization of salaries. Yes, that's correct. We did a study in 2021 to analyze the salaries of employees against our approved salary scale. And those employees that we found that were paid below the pay scale, they were then normalized to be in line with the pay scale. So that's the exercise that we did in October 2021. And on the group life scheme, because of the nature of our business, we've got a group life scheme that is fully funded by the corporation. It covers the employees' life cover in the event that the employee passes on whilst on duty. There's a cover for them. And we also have a funeral cover that covers all employees, as well as their beneficiaries. We should include a spouse as well as their kids. And the cover for the funeral cover ranges from 100,000 for an employee, and then the amounts escalates down depending on the age of the children. And the life cover is 350,000, but that is if the employee passes on whilst on duty. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Prof, you may wrap up.
Thanks, Chair. It's only one issue that Honorable Mabena raised with respect to metrics, so that our reporting can be comprehensive. And we'll take note of that, so that in future we use pertinent metrics to make our reports to be very, very explanatory on their own without anybody making a follow-up to explain what is entailed on the report. Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the honorable members. We have taken note of the comments and also the applauding that we got, issues of the DLTCs, the experience at the Gauteng station. And we'll also, in our report that we need to do regarding the fraud cases, I will appeal to the executive that we also include our experience of the other DLTCs that people are using already, and to explain to the honourable members what's really happening there. On behalf of RTMC, I really would like to say thank you for the opportunity and the guidance that we have received so far. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Prof, to you and to the team. We do, however, having appreciated and didn't want to make it an issue, especially when it's a health matter that the CEO had to consult a doctor. We wish him well, and we really always wish to see either the board chairperson and the CEO in such interactions, but we do understand. As I said, we did accept the apology of the chairperson. Thank you so much for your time and the effort to the whole team. And also the whole committee joins what was said by the colleague about your achievement. Although it doesn't reduce the number of people who die on the roads, which is the primary outcome we would like to see, but it does show that there is prudence and due diligence in the stewardship of the public purse that you are holding, which I think is something to be commended, as long as it doesn't make us forget that our main purpose is to save lives on the roads, which I know you are seized in doing to the best of your ability. We do thank you and hope that we can see more of those pockets of excellence that were mentioned of the DLTCs being in other provinces, especially the poor provinces or the provinces where people really need these services. But we commend what we see, and thank you once more. Do extend our appreciation to the whole executive team and to the whole board. Thank you so much, Prof. I then come back to our in-house issues colleagues. Thank you again for enduring. It has been a hectic 3 days or so, and I think we have done well. May I remind you that we have still some outstanding minutes that are ready. If I would implore you to go through them, we will look at them next week, Tuesday, when we meet. We will also look at how we manage the issue of the AXA portion of the response that was unable to be fitted in because of time. So next week we will be having our meeting on Tuesday, which will be physical in the precincts of Parliament. And please do make your traveling arrangements on time, as flights to the Western Cape, Cape Town, are quite scarce. Further details will be sent to you by the Secretariat. Before I adjourn the meeting, may I check with the Secretariat if there is any announcement or something that I could have missed?
You've covered everything, Acting Chair.
Thank you very much. On that note, colleagues, thank you once more for your indulgence, and the meeting stands adjourned till next week, Tuesday. Goodbye and good night.
And the chairperson, long live!